Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson was at Oracle for the season opener against OKC last night. He joins us now right here on 95.7 The Game. JD, we always appreciate the time. Let's start with this. You got to see the championship rings up close. The top half screws off. You can either use the blue side with the sapphires or the white side with the diamonds. Just being up close to something like that, what was it like? I mean, what is that thing? What's it like in person? Did you think about
pretty
stealing
amazing.
One?
Always. You always think about stealing one when you get to look at them. And I've had an opportunity to see a couple of the Giants rings up close and personal as well. But, yeah, very cool. I think one of the things you wonder going into a night like last night is, you know, what can be done differently the third time around? How do you make a championship ring more spectacular than maybe the previous year or the previous two times that you won in recent memory? And yeah, the ability to have a reversible, take it off, and it's got a strength in numbers logo, there as well, and then screw on the other side. It's pretty amazing the way the Warriors did it, and even the delivery with the rings coming down from the rafters was something a little bit different as well as far as the full entertainment value. But my goodness, I mean, it's just amazing when you look at them that anybody would ever wear them. And Steve Kerr said he hasn't ever really worn one in his life, all the ones that he's earned as a player and a coach. You more just sit and kind of gawk at it from time to time, maybe, if you're in your living room.
From the baubles, JD, to the dribbles and the action that happened on the floor, Damian Jones, his debut at center, what did you think, and do you think that ultimately he'll be the guy, or will it be more Kevon Looney at the center position eventually?
I think at this point it's going to be Damian Jones, and Steve Kerr said as much after the game that he'll get the start on Friday and then on Sunday with the Warriors playing Utah and Denver respectively. And I think you saw exactly what the Warriors like about Damian Jones. It's the fact that he looks the part. He's got the body type of a starting NBA center and maybe more of a traditional starting NBA center. He's got the athleticism to finish around the basket in the lob game. He's got a little bit of touch to finish even when it's not going to be just a throwdown hammer dunk. And you even saw some Curry, Damian Jones pick and rolls, which is something that, I'm not sure anybody really believed that they were going to see. Steve Kerr really praised Kevon Looney's training camp. He said Kevon Looney had a great camp, but they wanted to roll with Damian Jones, and I think it's similar to the way they would roll with a guy like Zaza Pachulia or roll with a guy like JaVale McGee in the starting lineup, because he brings a different element, and then Looney becomes, the first man in and the different style of big. If anything, at this point, it's Jordan Bell that slipped behind the other two, at least for now. Until the Warriors need more of the smaller, interchangeable, movable on defense type big. So I think Bell's out of the rotation a little bit for now, but it would check back in a week and a half, 2 weeks, he could be playing, as much or more than anybody.
JD, let me follow up on that. With Jordan Bell, because he was a second-round pick, he becomes a restricted free agent this summer. Now, at the same time, other teams could make him a big offer. They could offer him a huge offer sheet. It's the same week that Durant and Klay Thompson are going to be involved in free agency. Is it possible that throughout the course of the season, there may be some gamesmanship here on behalf of the Warriors? Maybe not using Bell to his maximum potential, because the better he plays, the more likely someone gives him a very big offer, and the more difficult it becomes to retain his services.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and I think a good one, Joe. But I also think, and the Warriors have been fortunate that nobody's really made any of their young guys a big-time offer. Whether it's Pat McCaw or really anybody else that's been potentially available there, I think the Warriors are in a good position with Bell, and I think that's another reason why signing a guy like DeMarcus Cousins becomes a no-brainer, too, because let's not forget he's going to be back in the mix. So then you're going to have Cousins and Damian Jones and Kevon Looney, all who could be maybe in front of Jordan Bell at times on the depth chart. Now, the one thing I will say, though, the cream always rises to the top, and if the Warriors find themselves in playoff series against teams that are small ball teams like the Rockets were last year, I think you're going to see Bell and Looney both get the bulk of the minutes. And if either one of those guys play well in a playoff series, Bell specifically, he is the prototypical new wave big man in the NBA. Can switch out on anybody, can block shots, can run the floor, athletic as all get out. So I do still think, even though maybe they would be trying to hide him per se, they would be in a position where he'd still be able to show out enough depending upon the matchup, let's say in a playoff series.
Yeah, JD, you're talking about, you know, Damian Jones, you're talking about Looney, Kevon, when you talk about just the footwork, the ability underneath the hoop, what do you think? What is he showing you? Because I saw Looney last night, aggressive on the boards, second shot opportunities, just the footwork down in the post. Seems like this guy has developed. What is the difference to separate these two fundamentally?
Yeah, well, Looney is a guy that was always projected to be a really good offensive rebounder. That was one of the skill sets that Bob Myers, I remember him going back to when Looney was first drafted, saying that, you know, that was something that he did in college. The deal with him is he's got a unique body type. He's got a length that allows him to almost engulf opponents defensively with his arms. He doesn't have to move his feet and put the rest of his body in position to foul. I think that and timing allows him to grab offensive rebounds and do that effectively. I think he's tirelessly worked on his offensive game to try and get a little bit more of that, 18 to 20 foot jumper, create a little bit more of a touch around the basket. But he's a decent finisher too on the offensive glass. So he's somebody that also doesn't make a mistake a whole heck of a lot of the time. You know, a lot of young players, it's high risk, high reward. Looney is a guy that he's steady. He does everything you want, maybe not always in spectacular fashion, but he also doesn't have the mistakes that can come with, playing a young player in big moments. And I think that's the biggest thing that probably separates him from a guy like Jordan Bell. It's the fact that Jordan Bell makes a lot of flash plays, but Jordan Bell also makes, I think, a lot of mistakes that to the naked eye, to the common fan, you don't see. So when the fans clamor for Jordan Bell, Steve Kerr can look at the tape and look at some of the things that maybe he's told him behind closed doors and say, I can't do it because you're making these silly mistakes. Until you knock those out, I can't get you on the floor. Looney doesn't make those types of mistakes.
John Dickinson here on 95.7 The Game. Andre Iguodala, 10 minutes, leaves with a calf issue. Should we expect very, very light duty for Iguodala between now and, say, April Fool's Day, John?
Yeah, although the one thing that becomes an issue there is the Warriors really don't have a ton of wing depth. I think, you know, when they've spoken about playing the young guys, you know, I've somewhat raised an eyebrow because when they say play the young guys, I think of the big men that we've spent a good portion of this segment talking about, and I don't necessarily think of wing players because there isn't a whole heck of a lot there. So I think that the Warriors would like to be careful with Andre Iguodala. I think last night shows you that they're already maybe going to have to be more careful than even they thought that they would have to be, at least early on in the season. And I also think this is where, you know, DeMarcus Cousins and his return becomes a factor, because they went and signed him. They have one fewer big man, you know, or one fewer wing on the roster. So when Cousins comes back, they're going to have to use him, I think, maybe with that bench group a little bit. They're going to have to really use him with the other four All-Stars in an attempt to try and find maybe a finishing lineup with that group if Iguodala, needs time off or can only be played sporadically. Jacob Evans, a DNP last night, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be in the rotation anytime soon unless Iguodala has to miss significant time, or they really have to be careful with him. Alphonso McKinney was somebody, you know, I'd asked Steve Kerr after the final preseason game in San Jose, I said, do you think you have enough wings? You know, quality depth there. And the guy that he brought up was Alphonso McKinney. And he said, well, this guy's going to play and he's going to be good for us. And I thought it was funny last night. You look at the way Kerr juggled the rotation. It was basically to not have Evans or McKinney on the floor. And even Jonas Jerebko, until he had to in the fourth quarter, playing significant minutes. So I do think they're in a little bit of a pickle with Iguodala if they have to continue to have him as limited as he was last night, and looks like he may have to be here until he can get that calf healed up.
95.7 The Game, reporter John Dickinson joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. JD, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
All right, you got it, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.